Welcome to Family Law Talk.
Family Law Talk.
Presented by Kirk Stange of Stange Law Firm, PC. Stange Law Firm is a multi-state family law firm. Now, here's your host, Kirk Stange.
Welcome to Family Law Talk. We have an interesting topic today. The topic is caucus mediations in divorce and family law matters, and this is based on an article on our blog, familylawheadquarters.com, dated April 12th, 2024. And the title of that article is, What is the Caucus Approach to Mediation? So as a follow-up to the episode today, go on over to familylawheadquarters.com and read this article on the same topic. But let's go ahead and jump on into the topic at hand. The truth of the matter is mediation is very popular in divorce and family law matters. For folks looking to resolve their case outside of court, mediation is often the first thing that most individuals think about is a possibility for trying to resolve their case. When talking about mediation, though, there's differences, there's nuances in terms of how mediation can take place. And I think this is something lots of individuals miss or don't understand about mediation in terms of how it works. And so let's try to break some of this down. I mean, the first issue is court-ordered mediation versus voluntary mediation. Some courts will order parties to do mediation, and we call that court-ordered mediation. And obviously, the laws in each state can vary in terms of what a judge is allowed to do or not do, but it's not uncommon in a lot of courts for the judge to order the parties going through a divorce or family law matter to go to mediation, court-ordered mediation, and sometimes they're required to do it for a certain length of time. Maybe a couple hours or a few hours or something like that. Again, it's going to vary based on the case. The other type of mediation is with the parties, they're not ordered to do it. They voluntarily agree to do it. So sometimes parties will go to mediation before ever filing the divorce or family law matter, and they'll agree to do it, and they try to work things out. And sometimes parties might do it in the midst of litigation. So maybe the litigation was set off, but they agree to go to mediation. And this can often look quite different. You know, when parties want to be there, when parties desire to go, from my experience, the results oftentimes can be better because the parties want to be there. Court-ordered mediation can certainly work, and it's worth the effort. But from my experience, if the parties don't want to do it, they're doing it because they have to, then really the percentages of success can go down dramatically in terms of court-ordered versus voluntary mediation. And certainly when it's court-ordered mediation, the judge is often picking somebody. If, on the other hand, it's voluntary, then the parties agree on who the mediator is going to be. And maybe they've heard good things about a particular mediator or something like that. And that can certainly be a good thing in terms of trust. But, you know, moving past that in terms of how most think mediation works, what most people, at least I've worked with as clients through the years, tend to think is they think that they and the other party are going to go to the mediation and they'll be in the room with the mediator talking about the case and the facts and potential settlement options, and like they'll be in a room and then the case will just be resolved. Lots of individuals actually get confused too and think that a mediator is like a judge, like the mediator can actually divorce them, which of course isn't the case. And certainly sometimes people do mediation this way though, where they both go alone without their attorneys. They sit in the room with the mediator and they talk about settlement options and whatnot. And certainly in some cases, parties might be able to resolve their divorce or family law matter this way, from my experience. So that often is not the case. And people say, well, why would that not be the case? And at least in terms of what I've seen through the years, the issue is that, look, if parties could just sit down and talk and figure this stuff out in terms of how their divorce was going to work, they might not even need a mediator to begin with. And the other thing I've learned through the years is this, is that, look, if parties could easily compromise and work things out and meet in the middle on various issues, the truth is they might not be getting divorced in the first place. Oftentimes a divorce takes place because parties aren't capable of doing this. They are not able to do this. So from my vantage point, you know, going alone in with a mediator, sometimes it works, but I'd say at least an equal amount of the time it doesn't. And And I would say at times for me, you know, most of the time it doesn't work in terms of what I've seen with clients. And what it can lead to is if the two people are in the room with the mediator alone and their lawyers aren't there, my experience is that oftentimes arguing can begin, bickering can begin, people can get mad at each other, and the situation can actually become more inflamed. And then what ends up happening is people storm out of mediation, maybe more upset than they originally were, and they don't even reach any kind of settlement. And in fact, it just sets off litigation, okay? So then when you get to the topic at hand, you say, well, what is this caucus approach? What does this mean? How does this work? I think this concept is not widely known to most individuals going through a divorce or family law matter. And I would bet most individuals haven't even heard about this before. You know, they don't even know it's a thing or it's an option. But in terms of doing mediations myself with clients through the years and seeing how this oftentimes takes place, from my personal experience, caucus approach to mediation is very common in terms of where I've practiced. And the way this works is this, it's very different than what I described above. And the caucus approach to mediation, you know, both parties go in different rooms. You know, sometimes it could be two different conference rooms or two different offices, but let's say you put husband in one room and wife in the other room, and you don't ever put them in the same room. And then oftentimes they bring their lawyers with them. So, you know, husband will be in one room and wife will be in another room, and they each have their lawyer with them. And then what often happens is the mediator then caucuses back and forth between the rooms or travels back and forth between the rooms. So the mediator will go in the one room, let's say with the husband and their lawyer, and we'll talk about settlement options and we'll get their perspective. And then maybe give some tips, some suggestions, maybe some guidance. And then maybe, you know, they depart and then walk in the room with wife and their attorney. And, you know, then they do the same thing, you know, talk about settlement options, give some goals, some tips, express the other party's position. And so they travel back and forth between the rooms, the mediator, and the two parties are never really in the same room. You know, sometimes in terms of how this can take place, in terms of at least what I've seen, then maybe the attorneys get together in a different room with the mediator, and neither of the parties are there. So maybe the attorneys go in a room and kind of try to get down to brass tacks in terms of what settlement options might be out there and what's doable and what isn't doable, right? So I've seen a lot of that. In some cases, maybe there'll be a real quick meeting at the beginning where the mediator's in there and both the parties are there with their lawyers, and then quickly, after an intro and maybe an explanation in terms of how this is going to work, then the parties each go in their own room. But look, in divorce and family law matters, where emotions can be high and feelings can already be escalated, and people are worked up and maybe anxious and maybe even angry, you know, putting parties in the same room for mediation oftentimes is counterproductive. Again, sometimes it can work. Sometimes parties might not be very emotional. Maybe the parties have just grown apart and there's not this anger or resentment or these kinds of feelings between the parties, and so it's easier to put them in the same room. But from my personal experience, at least in the divorce and family law realm, that is often, all those feelings are often there. You know, those complexities are often there. Also, you know, in a lot of relationships, there can be one party who's oftentimes more dominant in terms of the decision making, and the other parties maybe had a history of being kind of barreled over, if you will. In these kinds of circumstances, putting the parties in the same room could just further that too, where the one party just sort of rolls over the other party, and then the other party is not happy with the results or the settlement or whatnot, and so it's not good there as well. So look, the caucus approach to mediation is the topic at hand, and again, the way this works is how I've described it, which is the parties are generally separated in their own rooms apart from each other, and then the mediator goes back and forth. Now, you know, another question individuals often have is, well, how long can this take? Well, you know, the way I would explain this is it depends. And it's really based on how far apart the parties are, how many issues are in play. But caucus mediations, in theory, could take days. It could take days of going back and forth with proposals and counter proposals and working through one issue and then another issue for parties to be able to reach a settlement. So it, you know, don't necessarily expect that it'll be quick and easy. I mean, maybe sometimes that can happen, but oftentimes not. Oftentimes this takes many hours or multiple days in order for an agreement to be reached through a caucus approach to mediation. All right. So again, this is the topic at hand today. Definitely an interesting topic, and I think one that not a lot of parties know a lot about. So I think it's important for parties who are thinking about mediation to contemplate, does it make sense to be in the same room with the other party, or is that going to be counterproductive? And if it's counterproductive, you know, maybe think about the caucus approach to mediation. You know, the other piece to this too is, you know, do you bring your attorney to the mediation or do you not? I've talked about this topic with lots of attorneys through the years. My general belief is bringing your attorney to mediation is a good thing. I mean, particularly if you don't have a lot of legal knowledge, having your lawyer there is a good thing. I mean, you don't want to go to mediation and agree to something and then have regrets about it. So from my vantage point, mediations are best served by the attorneys being there. Although I will say with court-ordered mediation, my experience is oftentimes the attorneys don't go. You know, the parties go along just with the mediator and the attorneys aren't there. Again, maybe lawyers have seen this differently than I have, but from my vantage point, if a settlement's to be had, having the lawyers there is definitely a good thing and can help ensure the parties' questions are answered. And if there's a legal issue, the lawyers can give legal advice on the settlement terms that are being thrown out there. And so I think bringing the lawyers is generally a good thing. But like I said, with court-ordered mediation, oftentimes it doesn't happen. All right, well, that's the topic today. Again, as a follow-up to the episode today, go on over to familylawheadquarters.com, read the article titled, What is the Caucus Approach to Mediation? It will give you more information on this topic. But thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned to our next episode on Family Law Talk coming up. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Family Law Talk with Kirk Stange. Visit StangeLawFirm.com for more about today's topic or to put Stange Law Firm to work for your family today. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements. Neither the Supreme Court of Missouri or Illinois reviews or approves certifying organizations or specialist designations. The information you obtained in this podcast is not, nor is it intended to be, legal advice. You should consult an attorney for advice regarding your individual situation. We invite you to contact us and welcome your calls, letters, and electronic mail. Contacting us does not create an attorney-client relationship. Please do not send any confidential information to us until such time as an attorney-client relationship has been established. Past results afford no guarantee of future results, and every case is different and must be judged on its own merits. Kirk Stange is responsible for the content. Headquarters, Office, 120 South Central Avenue, Suite 450, Clayton, Missouri, 63105. Kirk Stange is licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Kansas.